We continue now with The Enthronement of the Sacred Heart of Jesus by Francis Larkin. Yes, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is without doubt the best means of showing our love for the Sacred Heart, as it is our Lord's best way of proving His love for us. That's why whenever we find a true friend of the Sacred Heart, we are sure to find a lover of the Mass. And whenever we find one who loves the Mass, you may be sure this person is a friend of the Sacred Heart. It is the Mass that makes possible the presence of the Heart of Jesus in the host, and the Heart of Jesus is in the host only in view of the Mass. He is there as a victim, His heart offering continuous acts of sacrifice, adoration, reparation, thanksgiving, and petition to His Heavenly Father. The Mass is the throne of grace, the means God has established to pour out on men the treasures of love contained in the Sacred Heart of His Divine Son. Frequent communion. The third means to acquire this perfect love is the frequent reception of the sacraments, especially frequent communion. There is no better way to become inflamed with love for the Sacred Heart than by receiving Him often, daily if possible, in the sacrament of His love. It is not possible to carry fire in one's heart and not be inflamed by it. Divine love has lit a great furnace on our altars in the adorable sacrament of the Eucharist, and it is by approaching this sacred fire that all the saints have been inflamed by a most ardent and tender love for Jesus. Those who with proper dispositions receive Holy Communion daily or frequently experience the admirable effects of frequent communion. They love Jesus Christ more and more. Their love increases in the measure in which they nourish themselves often with this bread of angels. Visits to the Blessed Sacrament. Again, we quote Father Crosset, "Friendship is preserved and increased among men by frequent visits and conversations. It is by this means that we shall gain and increase the friendship of Jesus Christ. As His object in remaining on our altars is to be continually with us, judge what must be His sentiments of affection for those whom He sees often with Him. There's nothing that gains the heart of Jesus more than frequent visits and frequent acts of adoration in His presence. It is usually at this time that He pours out His graces in greater abundance, and it may be said that of all His gifts and favors which He gives at these visits, the most usual is the incomparable gift of His love. These are visits of courtesy, and there are visits of pure love. If a person is wanting in paying visits of courtesy, it is a fault, but it is on the occasions of visits of pure love that singular favors are conferred. The days of the great feasts, holy days of obligation, and the time of Sunday Mass are, with regard to Jesus, visits of duty and courtesy, such as are paid to the great ones of this world. A person is remarked if not found with the crowd, but the visits which are made at certain hours of the day, when Jesus Christ is rarely visited, and when the greater part of the people forget Him, are visits of friends. It is at those times, more than any others, that Jesus Christ converses more familiarly with His favorites, that He communicates Himself more intimately to them, that He opens to them His Sacred Heart, and pours out on them the treasures of His grace by inflaming them with His divine love. And whether it be that the indifference of those who forget Him at those times renders more precious the fidelity of those who visit Him, it is a fact that all the saints have experienced that there is no more infallible way of obtaining in a short time this great love of Jesus Christ than to visit Him often in the churches, especially at those hours of the day when He's honored so little and visited so rarely. The Holy Hour. Experience proves that those who make the Holy Hour whether before the Blessed Sacrament or at home, inevitably grow in love for the Sacred Heart. And what could be more natural? It was our Lord himself who requested generous souls to watch 1 hour with him. The first privileged friends to make it with him in the Garden of Olives were Peter, James, and John. 1,600 years later, he invited St. Margaret Mary to rise at night to console him. Here are his words: "Every Thursday night I will make you partake of that sorrow unto death, which it was my will to suffer in the Garden of Olives. To join with me in this humble prayer which I then offered to my Father, you shall rise between 11 o'clock and midnight. You shall prostrate yourself with me for 1 hour, both to appease the anger of God by imploring mercy for sinners, and to sweeten in some way the bitterness I felt when my apostles abandoned me, being unable to watch 1 hour with me." The generous sacrifice of an hour of one's sleep is richly rewarded, not only by remarkable conversions, especially in one's own family, but also by an increase of love for the Sacred Heart of Jesus, a sufficient reward for anyone who calls himself our Lord's friend. Blessed Claude de la Colombière, S.J. Claude de la Colombière was born at St. Symphorien, France, February 2, 1641. He entered the Society of Jesus in 1658 and was ordained April 6, 1669. In 1675, he was appointed rector of the Jesuit house in the little town of Paray-le-Monial. There he also became the spiritual director and confidant of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque and an unflagging apostle of the Sacred Heart. Margaret Mary had suffered much because of misunderstanding, but had been comforted by our Lord with the words, "I will send you my faithful servant and perfect friend, who will teach you to know me and to abandon yourself to me." When Claude gave his first exhortation to the nuns of her convent, our Lord said to Margaret Mary, "This is he whom I am sending you." In 1676, Claude was sent to England as chaplain to the Catholic Duchess of York. At the time, England was in the grip of a violent anti-Catholic persecution, and eventually Claude was arrested, imprisoned briefly, and then banished from the kingdom. He arrived in France in January 1679, his health shattered. He died of tuberculosis in Paray-le-Monial February 15, 1682. After Claude's death, St. Margaret Mary prayed to him with great confidence. To a priest, she wrote, "You must turn to his faithful friend, the good Father de la Colombière, to whom God has given great power, and to whom he has entrusted, so to say, all that concerns this devotion to the Sacred Heart. I confess to you confidently that I have received great help from him." A letter, the Secretariat of State of His Holiness, the Vatican City, January 21, 1952. Reverend and dear Father Larkin, the Sovereign Pontiff has learned with pleasure of the forthcoming national movement to be promoted by the work of the enthronement of the Sacred Heart in the home, in order that every American home may possess an honor and image of the Sacred Heart of our Redeemer. The Holy Father trusts and prays that this laudable initiative may be blessed with spiritual success, and that the veneration of the Sacred Heart as the symbol of the Savior's love for all men may call down abundant graces from heaven upon the families of all who will accept and honor it in their homes. May those men of goodwill, including particularly those of the colored race, who consent in the spirit of religion and faith thus to honor divine love, experience in themselves the fulfillment of our Lord's promise to bless every home in which the image of his Sacred Heart would be exposed and venerated. With this prayer, His Holiness gladly imparts to you, Reverend Father, and to all those associated with you in this praiseworthy enterprise, His apostolic benediction. I remain, with sentiments of esteem, sincerely yours in Christ, J.B. Montini. Now, a footnote to this letter: the movement referred to by His Holiness was a campaign launched to distribute 1 million Sacred Heart pictures to non-Catholic colored Americans. Tarsesians paid for the pictures with sacrifice money and earned golden pennies for the conversion of colored in the county assigned to them. Chapter 4, The Promises of the Sacred Heart. There is no greater proof of our Lord's earnest desire that we practice devotion to His heart than the remarkable and almost unbelievable promises He made to those who carry out His requests. When we stop to consider that the one who made these promises is the second person of the Most Blessed Trinity, who can neither deceive nor be deceived, we are amazed that individuals and families should hesitate to place all their trust in the Sacred Heart for the solution of each and every one of their difficulties. We can apply to the Sacred Heart the words of St. Paul to the Hebrews: "Do not let us waver in acknowledging the hope that we cherish. We have a promise from one who is true to His word." If Jesus makes promises, He intends to keep them. No one can ever accuse Him of breaking His word. For those who trust Him and who carry out His requests, He will, if necessary, work miracles to redeem His pledge. One day, He said to St. Margaret Mary, "Do you believe I can do this? If you believe, you will see the power of my heart in the magnificence of my love." The Gospels are filled with examples. Consider but one of them. Our Lord demanded of Martha and Mary a tremendous act of faith and trust before He restored their brother Lazarus to life. Yet, when they made it, He worked one of His greatest miracles. The same is true of those who believe in the promises of the Sacred Heart. How many miracles of grace has He not performed for those who trusted Him, even though they did not see how He could possibly solve their problems? Take the case of a sister whose story is related by Father Mateo. When she became a nun, she offered her prayers and sacrifices, her masses and communions, her hours of devotion, her entire life, in fact, for the conversion of her brother, a hardened sinner. Long years went by, and reports from home became increasingly worse as her brother plunged deeper and deeper into a life of sin. But she never lost hope, nor did her confidence in the Sacred Heart fail. Finally, one day came the news that her brother had committed suicide. He had drowned himself by jumping from a bridge. Everyone who knew him thought he went straight to hell. But his sister, with the faith that moves mountains, never once doubted the mercy of the heart of Jesus. "It is impossible," she said, "that after all these years of prayers and sacrifices, my brother's soul is lost. I don't know how, but I believe my brother's soul has been saved." Our Lord rewarded the blind faith of this generous sister. One night, she was awakened from sleep in her cell. She seemed to see her brother in a coffin that was all on fire. He told her that he was in purgatory, suffering for his sins, but assured of salvation. Thanks to her prayers and sacrifices, to her masses and communions, he had received the grace to make an act of contrition the moment he jumped from that bridge. Once more, the Sacred Heart had proved that He never breaks His word. A hidden treasure. Truly, we can call the promises of the Sacred Heart a hidden treasure. Even among those devoted to the Sacred Heart, little is known of the variety and extent of the promises made to St. Margaret Mary in favor of the various classes of persons who practice and propagate devotion to the Sacred Heart, according to his requests. Most prayer books and manuals of devotion enumerate 12 promises, with the result that the majority of Catholics think these are all the promises our Lord made, and that they were made exactly as they're published. Actually, however, the so-called 12 promises do not begin to enumerate all the promises made by our Divine Lord to Saint Margaret Mary. As a matter of fact, they're not even a summary of them, but rather are a selection of those best calculated to arouse sentiments of love for the Sacred Heart in the hearts of the faithful and get them to practice the devotion. It is true, these 12 promises are to be found in the writings of Saint Margaret Mary, but not all in one place, nor in exactly the same words. That we can place our trust without hesitation in these promises goes without saying. Not only have they been carefully examined by Holy Mother Church and found worthy of credence, but to encourage the faithful to place their trust in the Sacred Heart, the Sovereign Pontiffs have referred to them in public documents. Pope Leo XIII, in his Constitution Benigno of June 28, 1889, writes, "In order that men might respond more willingly to this desire concerning devotion to his heart, Jesus promises great favors and invites and draws all men to his heart." Pius XI, in his encyclical Miserentissimus, states, "Our Redeemer himself promised Saint Margaret Mary that all those who would thus honor his Sacred Heart would receive heavenly graces in abundance." Pope Pius XII, addressing newly married couples, speaks of the promises as follows: "To lead all to respond to the appeal of his Sacred Heart, Jesus made the 12 promises, one of which especially concerns Christian families, namely, I will give peace to their families, I will bless the homes where an image of my Sacred Heart is set up and honored." The enthronement of the Sacred Heart is based on this promise. We wish to recommend it warmly to you who have just been united at the altar and are about to found new Christian homes. If you thus consecrate your home to Him, Jesus will reign over your whole lives, protect and watch over you and all your interests. Fulfillment of the promises. Anyone who would make the fulfillment of the promises of the Sacred Heart depend upon a few external practices of the devotion, hoping in this way to receive the promised favor, would be seriously in error. The purpose of the promises is to get us to love Jesus more fervently in return for his great love for us. If then we wish to see his promises realized, we must at least try to love him sincerely and wholeheartedly. But if we fulfill this condition with humble trust, certainly we can rely on our Lord to keep his word and fulfill his promises. To doubt would be to suppose either that Jesus didn't mean what he said when he made the promises, or that he's powerless to keep them. It is also well to point out that promises of temporal blessings are conditional promises. It is quite evident the Sacred Heart does not will, nor is he able to grant us temporal favors if they constitute an obstacle to our salvation or are a hindrance to increasing our love for him, the principal purpose of this devotion. Nor does devotion to the Sacred Heart provide a road of sanctity and eternal happiness different from the royal road of the cross. Jesus never promised he would remove all crosses and trials, but rather that he would give us special graces to bear them. Here is what Saint Margaret Mary has to say on this subject. "Our Divine Savior revealed to me that the names of many people are written in his heart, and that he will never permit them to be effaced because of their desire to do it honor. But he did not say that his friends would have nothing to suffer, for he wishes them to consider it their greatest happiness to taste the bitterness of his suffering." In this regard, Father Mateo tells the following story. Once, he says, he enthroned the Sacred Heart in the home of a certain family. Years later, the wife came to Father Mateo crying. "What about the promises of the Sacred Heart?" was her tearful complaint. "What about them?" answered Father Mateo. "You promised me the Sacred Heart would bless our home if we enthroned him there." "I certainly did." "Well, the Sacred Heart didn't keep his promise." "What do you mean?" "My mother died." "Your mother died? How old was she?" 93, answered the daughter. 93, exclaimed Father Mateo. 93, why, she could have died long ago. Do you think the enthronement is a guarantee against death? The wonderful promises of the Sacred Heart. To our knowledge, the best and most complete list of the promises of the Sacred Heart is to be found in a book written by an Irish missionary, Father Patrick O'Connell, entitled "The Devotion to the Sacred Heart, the Essence of Christianity and the Center of the Divine Plan of Redemption." 20 pages of this book are devoted to quoting passages from the writings of St. Margaret Mary concerning the various promises of the Sacred Heart. Space does not permit us to reprint the entire text here as we'd like to do, but we do feel that a listing of the various promises will be a revelation to many of our readers and encourage them to place all their trust in the heart that loves them so much. Promises attached to the veneration of the image of the Sacred Heart. Blessings promised to nations. But our Divine Lord does not wish to stop there. He desires, it seems to me, to enter with pomp and magnificence into the houses of princes and kings in order to be honored there as much as he was outraged, despised, and humiliated in his passion, and to receive as much pleasure at seeing the great ones of this world abased and humiliated before him as he felt bitterness at seeing himself annihilated at their feet. The following are the words which I heard with reference to our King. "Tell the eldest son of my Sacred Heart that as his temporal birth has been obtained by the merits of my holy infancy, so he will obtain his birth to grace and eternal glory by consecrating himself to my adorable heart, which wishes to triumph over his, and by means of him over the great ones of the earth. It wishes to reign in his palace, to be painted on his standards, and engraved on his arms, rendering them victorious over all his enemies, humbling to his feet those proud heads, and rendering him triumphant over all the enemies of the Holy Church." Blessings promised to families. Our Divine Lord assured me that he takes a singular pleasure in being honored under the figure of his heart of flesh, the image of which he wishes to be exposed in public in order to touch the unfeeling hearts of men. He promised that he would pour out in abundance into the hearts of all those who would honor his heart all the gifts with which it is filled, and that everywhere this image is exposed and honored, it would draw down all kinds of blessings. Blessings promised to religious communities. He promised that he would pour out the sweet unction of his ardent charity on all those communities in which his divine image would be honored, that he would turn away from them the thunderbolts of the just anger of God, and that he would restore them to his grace if they should have the misfortune to fall into sin. Blessings promised to individuals. He promised to pour out into the hearts of all those who honor the image of his heart all the gifts which it contains. He promised also to imprint his love on the hearts of all those who would wear this image on their persons, and that he would destroy in them all disordered movements. Promises attached to the consecration to the Sacred Heart. Consecration to the Sacred Heart is the most important of all the devotional practices demanded by our Divine Lord for his Sacred Heart. This consecration rejoices the Sacred Heart and terrifies the devil, against whom it is a powerful weapon. Let us renew often our consecration to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, writes St. Margaret Mary, and let us live that consecration faithfully. The Sacred Heart takes a singular pleasure in it. The devil has a most intense fear of the devotion to this loving heart because of the salvation of the multitude of souls which it affects in favor of those who consecrate themselves completely to the Sacred Heart for the purpose of loving it, honoring it, and glorifying it. Consecration to the Sacred Heart is a sovereign remedy against mortal sin. I cannot believe, writes St. Margaret Mary, that those consecrated to the heart of Jesus will fall under the domination of Satan through mortal sin, if having consecrated themselves to the heart of Jesus, they endeavor to love it, honor it, by conforming themselves in all things to its holy maxims. Consecration puts souls on the road to perfection. There is no surer means of attaining perfection than to be consecrated to the heart of Jesus. If therefore we wish to attain that perfection which the adorable heart of Jesus desires of us, we must make an entire sacrifice of ourselves and of everything that depends on us to the Sacred Heart and live entirely for it. Consecration will procure peace. Establish your dwelling in the amiable heart of Jesus, and you will find unalterable peace, strength to carry out all your good desires, and a protection against voluntary faults. Consecration is the key which opens the heart, the Sacred Heart, to us. Our Lord gave me to understand that he wishes to be known, loved, and adored by men. And for that end, he would give them many graces, provided they consecrate themselves to the devotion and love of his Sacred Heart. Consecration to the Sacred Heart is a pledge of salvation. There is no surer means of salvation than to consecrate oneself to the divine heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. The loving heart of Jesus will not allow any of those consecrated to it to perish. So great is his desire that his Sacred Heart be known, loved, and honored by his creatures. In this Sacred Heart they will find assistance during their life and all their necessities. It will be their secure place of refuge at the hour of their death, into which they will be received and protected from their enemies. Promises made in favor of sinners. The devotion to the Sacred Heart is an efficacious means offered for the conversion of sinners. My Divine Master, writes St. Margaret Mary, revealed to me that it was his ardent desire to be known, loved, and honored by men, and his eager desire to draw them back from the road to perdition, along which Satan is driving them in countless numbers, that induced him to manifest his heart to men with all the treasures of love, mercy, grace, sanctification, and salvation that it contains, in order to have a means of satisfying its desire to pour out on them abundantly its mercies and its graces. It is by this means that the Sacred Heart of our loving Jesus wishes to save many souls from eternal perdition. This divine heart is like a fortress or a secure place of refuge for all poor sinners who wish to take shelter in it from the justice of Almighty God, the thunderbolts of whose wrath, like an impetuous torrent, would overwhelm sinners and their sins on account of the enormous number committed at the present time. The reasons why our Lord has shown such an ardent desire to have his Sacred Heart honored by a special act of homage, continues St. Margaret Mary, are to pour out on souls which are being lost in great numbers the salutary and sanctifying graces of salvation and sanctification which his merciful heart is so eager to dispense, to renew in souls the effects of redemption by making his divine heart a second mediator between God and man, whose sins have been so multiplied that it requires the whole extent of his power to obtain mercy for them. The devotion to the heart of our divine master represents the final effort of his love, which in these last ages wishes to favor men with such a loving redemption from the tyranny of Satan and establish them in the sweet liberty of the empire of his love. She concludes, "There is nothing sweeter, nothing gentler, and at the same time nothing stronger or more efficacious than the sweet unction of the ardent charity of this loving heart to convert the most hardened sinners." Promises made in favor of the just. There is no shorter way of attaining perfection than to render to the divine heart all the homage, love, honor, and praise in our power. I do not know of any other exercise in the spiritual life more calculated to raise a soul in a short time to the height of perfection and make it taste the true sweetness that is to be found in the service of God. If it were known how pleasing this devotion is to Jesus Christ, there is no Christian, however little his love for our amiable Savior, who would not begin to practice it immediately. Promises for the afflicted. The heart of Jesus consoles his servants in all their afflictions. "Our Lord Jesus Christ," writes St. Margaret Mary, "will recompense you richly for your devotion to his Sacred Heart. If you wish to honor it, confide to its safekeeping all your actions and sufferings, and unite yourself to its holy intentions in everything that you do. Bring to it all your griefs and sorrows. Make your dwelling in that divine heart, and peace of heart will be restored. It will console you in your needs and afflictions, and will be your strength in your weakness. You will find in it the sovereign remedy for all your ills, and your refuge in all your necessities. The heart of Jesus is the true source of consolation in public calamities. Our Lord Jesus Christ favored me with a visit," writes St. Margaret Mary, "during which he gave me to understand that he wishes his Sacred Heart to be known in our days as the mediator between God and men, for it is all-powerful to obtain peace for them by turning away the chastisements which their sins have brought upon them and to obtain mercy. Public prayers have great power with the Sacred Heart, which turns away the rigors of divine justice by putting itself between justice and the sinners to obtain pardon." Promises concerning our last end. The Great Promise. On a Friday, during Holy Communion, he said these words to his unworthy slave, if I mistake not: "I promise you in the excessive mercy of my heart that its all-powerful love will grant to all those who receive Holy Communion on 9 first Fridays of consecutive months the grace of final repentance. They will not die under my displeasure or without receiving their sacraments, my divine heart making itself their assured refuge at the last moment." With regard to this promise, it may be remarked that our Lord requires communion to be received on a particular day chosen by him, that the 9 Fridays must be consecutive, that they must be made in honor of his Sacred Heart, which means that those who make the 9 Fridays must practice the devotion and must have a great love for our Lord, that our Lord does not say that those who make the 9 Fridays will be dispensed from any of their obligations or from exercising the vigilance necessary to lead a good life and overcome temptation. Rather, he implicitly promises abundant graces to those who make the 9 Fridays to help them to carry out these obligations and persevere to the end. That perseverance in receiving Holy Communion for 9 consecutive First Fridays helps the faithful to acquire the habit of frequent communion, which our Lord eagerly desires, and that the practice of the nine Fridays is very pleasing to our Lord, since he promises such a great reward, and that all Catholics should endeavor to make the nine Fridays. Protection promised by our Lord at the moment of death. The divine heart of Jesus again gave me to understand and assured me, writes St. Margaret Mary, that the pleasure which he takes in being known, loved, and honored by his creatures is so great that he promised me that none of those who practice this amiable devotion and are devoted to his adorable heart will ever perish. His love will not allow any of those souls to perish who have consecrated themselves to his sacred heart in order to render it all their homage and all the love of a sincere and honest will, and, as far as is in their power, induce others to honor it. It is by this devotion that we make certain of our salvation, which is so much in danger through the corruption of this miserable world. When we are completely devoted to this adorable heart, loving it and honoring it with all our power, and abandoning ourselves completely to it, our divine Lord will take care of us, and in spite of the storms that rage, will make us arrive at the port of salvation. Love the sacred heart of our Lord Christ, for none of those who are specially devoted to it will ever perish. I have found no remedy more efficacious in all my troubles than the sacred heart. In it I repose without anxiety. The sick and sinners will find in it a secure place of refuge. This divine and loving heart is my hope and my refuge. Its merits are my salvation, my life, and my resurrection. Promises to people in the world and their families. Our divine Lord assured me, writes St. Margaret Mary, that he takes such pleasure in being known, loved, and honored by his creatures, that he promises that people in the world will find through this amiable devotion all the helps necessary for their state of life. That is to say, peace in their families, and he promised me that he will unite families that are divided. Our divine Lord wishes us to have great charity for our neighbor. He wishes us to pray to him for our neighbor as we would for ourselves, for it is one of the special effects of this devotion to unite hearts divided and to bring peace to souls. Consolation in their afflictions, solace in their labors. He promised that he would protect and assist families that were in any necessity if they addressed themselves to him with confidence. The blessings of heaven on all their enterprises, that in his sacred heart they would find refuge during their life and especially at the hour of their death. Special promises to persons consecrated to God, promises made to religious communities. Our divine Lord promised me, writes St. Margaret Mary, that as his sacred heart is the source of all blessings, he will pour out the sweet unction of his ardent charity on all those communities where his sacred heart is honored and who place themselves under its special protection. He promised me that he would keep their hearts united so that they would form but one. He promised me that he would turn away the thunderbolts of divine justice from them and restore them to favor if they should fall. Let religious embrace this amiable devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, for they will draw from it such help that no other means will be needed to reestablish in their first fervor and in the most exact observance of their rule those communities that have become lax, and to bring to the height of perfection communities that are already fervent. The Ten Promises to the Apostles of the Sacred Heart. These ten promises are summarized in Numbers 10 and 11 of the traditional 12 promises as follows. I will give priests the power of touching the most hardened hearts, and those who propagate this devotion will have their names written in my heart, and they will never be effaced. First promise for apostles of the devotion. My divine master, writes St. Margaret Mary, showed me the names of several persons written in letters of gold on his sacred heart, names which he will never allow to be effaced. These are the names of the persons who have labored the most to make his sacred heart known and loved. Second promise for apostles of the devotion. The Sacred Heart of Jesus has such a great desire to be known, loved, and honored by men. He wishes so ardently to establish the empire of his love in all hearts by destroying in them the empire of Satan, that he promises great recompenses to all those who devote themselves with their whole hearts to establishing the reign of his Sacred Heart according to the lights and graces which he gives them. Let us continue with the enthronement of the Sacred Heart of Jesus on the next tape.